glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, Prime Life Times in Review, January 8th, 2020.
2020, we got it right.
2020. Wow. And we're back in our pattern of memorization Monday. On Monday, we looked at Proverbs 3:5. We had special guest Bruce Paulsrud. He's with Thrivent Financial, and as mentioned on Monday, and you'll continue to hear spots, we're having a special gathering here at the Great News Radio Center on Tuesday night, January 21st. It's something we're inviting you all to come out for, but it's limited seating, and you have to RSVP, but if you miss Monday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. I think it'll be a very beneficial seminar that's being put on, and so you can find out more by reading this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, or stop by our website and you can hear that program. And then yesterday we had Testimony Tuesday with Pastor Adam Tolbert. He's from the First Baptist Church of Hoopston, and he had one of his congregant members, Richard Berkey, in to introduce him. And Richard kind of did an introduction and then just sat back, and the whole rest of the 23 minutes was Pastor Adam and I talking and sharing. And
I like Richard. Richard Berkey.
Yeah, Richard. I introduced him as one of my favorite voices on the radio because he's in his 80s now, and you know, he's just got that great voice and sharing. And he's a part of our Prime Life Times team, which yesterday we had our Prime Life Times meeting, so we had a whole bunch of us in here. That was a great gathering. Today at noon, we have our board meeting.
You're
so
just having a meeting week.
That's right. We're getting closer to being able to make some more announcements. We're excited that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is moving forward on our APA, our assets purchase agreement, and our letter of intent, and all the information to acquire the 15 frequencies that'll be added to the Great News Radio family of stations, and how that's all working. And once that's finally approved, then I can give out much more details and specifics, and how God's working it, and the 3 million people that can be reached. And it's a very exciting time, but until the FCC approves it, it's kind of like
that moment when it's really solid.
Yeah, and we have a great newsletter that'll go out explaining and describing some of what God's at work doing. Mm-hmm. That'll go to anyone that gave a gift this past year. And if you want to receive that newsletter, please call in and we'll include that in about a week. I think we'll be getting that all generated and sent out. Mm-hmm. You can call us at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. So, yeah, exciting times. And then today, being the Prime Life Times in Review, frequent visitor, I don't know if you're a co-host, usually almost once a month for the last few months we've had you in, a real regular, Kathleen Jennings, who's our content contributor.
Well, and she's got this series going that's pretty popular from generation to generation, so it's wonderful having you read that each month.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Front page, B1, on our January 2020 edition.
And that's Mark's favorite section.
Times. Yes.
Okay, go ahead and read, Kathleen.
Yeah, take it away, Kathleen.
Mark's journey. The time had come. Every day it became more obvious. Yet every day became more difficult to believe. After stripping the house of most of the family's possessions and giving them to friends and neighbors to store until after the war, Mart was leading her grandparents, parents, and sisters on another journey of escape. Deciding to reduce the risk of capture by crossing the border separately, they were dressed as French peasants and carried small bundles containing all they had left. Remarkably, at the age of 19, she found herself guiding her family through the dark, empty streets of Poitiers, France, with prayers on her lips and several thousand francs hidden in the lining of her clothes. What had happened? How had it come to this? Not long before, she had assured Jackie, the young son of a German relative living with them, that the Germans would never invade France. But they did, and things changed rapidly. Mart Hoffman Cohen was born in the Lorraine city of Metz, about 30 miles from the German border. It was here, when she was about 5 years old, as her family left their synagogue one Saturday morning, she first experienced the anti-Semitism of Europe. Teenage boys, waiting outside the doors, threw stones at them and cried, "Dirty Jews," as they spit on the ground in front of her. Years later, it was also here that her family first began helping Jewish families fleeing Germany. After Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, November 9th to the 10th, 1938, they agreed to help as many as they could. The more who came, the more determined Mart's family became. Even though appalled at the stories the German Jewish families told her, Mart writes in her book, Behind Enemy Lines, that never for one moment did I think the same thing would happen to us, not in France. After Germany and Russia invaded Poland in September of 1939, at the request of the local Metz government, most French families left their belongings behind and moved to Poitiers, a predominantly Catholic community farther from the German border. Now, once again, they were packing the few things they could carry with them and leaving all else behind, including Mart's younger sister, Stephanie, a prisoner of the Nazis. She had been caught helping Jewish families escape Germany. In September 1940, all Jewish heads of households were required to register the name and birth date of each family member. The German government then issued each family member identity papers containing a red star and the word Juif, J-U-I-F, which is French for Jewish male, or Juive, J-U-I-V-E, Jewish female, printed in bold type across it. Soon, all Jews 6 years of age and older were required to wear a yellow Star of David. The authorities believed that the public response by others would result in condemnation of the Jewish community. But instead, many Catholic families would greet them and speak disapprovingly of the blatant anti-Semitism they had to endure. As conditions grew worse, it became clear that the only option left was to escape to free France. Fearing reprisals against her family, Stephanie wouldn't consider trying to escape from the detention camp near the edge of town until the family was no longer in Poitiers. Taking with them forged identity papers without the Jewish designation provided by a clerk that Mart had worked with in the town hall, the entire family, except for Stephanie, began their dangerous journey. Mart's father and Helene, one of her sisters, took the bus part of the way, walking the last few miles to their meeting place, a church in a village 20 miles south of Poitiers. Mart and Sister Rosie rode their bicycles all the way, alternating carrying Jackie on their handlebars. Her mother and grandmother took the bus. After they arrived at the church, the priest checked the area for German patrols, and four family members crossed the fields on foot. Mart waited at the church and thought about her fiancé Jacques and how difficult it was to leave him. A member of the French resistance, he not only encouraged her to escape, but insisted on it. When her mother and grandmother arrived at the church, the priest again checked for patrols, saw none, and wished them safe journey. Because of her grandmother's frail health, they couldn't cross through the fields. Instead, they had to walk slowly down the street toward the border. On one side of the street were houses of local farmers and poor French peasants. There was no way to hide from curious eyes. Then something, some would say a miracle, happened. Instead of alerting authorities, Mart saw residents dropping to their knees, making the sign of the cross, and praying. Encouraged once again, they continued on, quietly crossed the border, and rejoined their family. Although her family, except for Stephanie, were together again, they could find no peace and no jobs in Arles, where they were now living. Mart was unable to continue nurses' training because the head of the Red Cross school wouldn't enroll Jews. No one in the family could find a job because the identity papers they carried were not sufficient to allow employment. The worst, however, was yet to come. Moving to Marseille proved more than disappointing. It was here Mart learned of Stephanie's transfer to an unknown detention camp, later identified as Auschwitz. There was a glimmer of hope when Mart was permitted to finish nurses' training after a kind regional director stepped in to help. Mart's studies were mingled with her concern for Stephanie and for Jacques, who had been arrested. Then she received word that Jacques and his brother had been executed. Despite all her hard work, nursing was no longer a priority. Joining the resistance and undermining the Germans became her goal. But both the army and the resistance turned her down. Then they discovered that she spoke both German and French fluently. It was this ability that led her to being accepted and later honored for work as a member of the intelligence service of the French First Army. Her work was an important contribution to the Allied victory. Finding a new home in the United States in the 1950s, Mart married Dr. Major Cohen. In addition to her career in medicine, she and her husband raised two sons. And at the age of 99, she still speaks to audiences across the country, telling of her remarkable experiences behind enemy lines.
And that's the title of her book, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. When Mart Cohen came to Urbana in February of 2019, I was privileged to meet her. Listening to her presentation, speaking with her, and reading her book were poignant reminders that I, too, have a personal responsibility to stand up for what is right and honest and true, and to stand against those who would destroy freedom.
Oh, wow. Mm. Oh, my.
And there's a great picture on the front page of the B1 section with your article mm-hmm. of you and Mart, and she has an unusual spelling of her name, so it's pronounced like Mart.
Yes.
But it's spelled M-A-R-T-H-E.
Yes, that's the way she prefers it to be pronounced. Mm-hmm. And she's probably, well, the picture shows kind of bending down. I think Mart was standing up pretty straight. I was bending down, and I'm not very tall.
Right.
I'm not very tall, but I don't even know that Mart is 5 feet.
Yeah. I could see you're bending down.
Yeah,
and still she's so little.
She's and that is probably one of the reasons. And in reading her book and talking with her, it was one of the reasons that the resistance and the army were not eager to sign her up because she was really not much bigger than a child.
Yeah.
Like a teenager.
Yeah.
What a story.
Oh, it's an incredible story. I didn't even write about the times that she spent as a spy. Mm-hmm. And going in the dangers that she faced and the things that she did.
When Rob read your article, when you first submitted it, he's like, oh, I heard her. He heard her presentation, heard her speak. He was like so excited this was in the paper.
Good.
This picture of them walking down that street toward the border and all those Catholic people coming out of their homes.
Oh, yes.
And falling down on their knees and crossing themselves, praying for them. It's like You could put that in a movie and people wouldn't even believe it. I mean, that's amazing.
It was hard for me when I read it. The tears were coming. It's hard for me just now when I read it.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
because
I could tell.
The visualization of the people, they believed there was really nothing they could do. They had no power themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they could pray.
And it's nice to know that she experienced some Christian compassion because oftentimes many Christians, German Christians or people that were maybe in the know or aware of things either just turned the other way or just tried to not deal with it.
And there were some that did, but there were many, as she writes in her book, there were many that helped her in different ways.
I mean, you even say that back at the beginning when they first began more and more to be anti-Semitic there in France, that they assumed these Catholics would go along with them, but that they didn't, that many of
them
didn't. And that's like today, it's true in history, you know, you hear one side of something, especially with Christians, like, oh, they all did this, or they all did that. No, they didn't.
That's right, because they had help, like the man who got the papers for them, the identity papers. At first he said no, he couldn't help, there wasn't anything he could do to help, but then he later came back and he gave her the papers and he said, here, he said, I have to do this. Now, if he had been caught, he would have been killed.
And then there was the Red Cross person that said, nope, you're Jewish, we're not going to hire you. But later on, somebody else in that organization said, no, this is a valuable person. We want to help.
And that's what is it in the human psyche that can ever go to that place of, oh, you're this or you that? You're black or you're Jewish or you're this or you're Christian or you're anything, so we can't have you.
That's right.
That's just horrifying.
And unfortunately, it's coming back.
I know.
Yeah. It's coming back in many areas. So those of us that know what God would want us to do, we need to do it.
Yeah. And we shouldn't be surprised. Holly and I had this long conversation. We were up visiting friends in Oak Brook this past weekend. And like the discussion on the way home, but we're in these end times where the Bible is really clear. Things do get worse, that there seems to be an acceleration of bad choices that people make, or the wickedness seems to reach new depths, if you will. And so we shouldn't be surprised by that. It doesn't mean that we give up hope or we're not to be active agents for change,
but
don't be surprised that things are dire at points in life.
No. Well, I'll put in a little plug here for another book, Erwin Lutzer's book called Hitler's Cross. And I read that before I went to Israel and studied.
Which time? 20, 30 times that you've gone?
Well, before I studied at Yad Vashem, I was there for a month in January studying about the Holocaust and things to do. And I read that book.
About 8 or 10 years ago?
It was in 2010.
Okay.
Yep, it was in 2010. And the people I met there, I met Holocaust survivors who were just children at the time. And the stories that you hear, but you know, they're not just stories. It's what is happening. It's what is happening. And I am going, I do go to schools periodically and talk about the Holocaust and things that we can do to keep that from happening. And even on January, I think it's the 27th, I'll be speaking at Judah to the chapel.
That's Judah in Champaign.
Judah Christian in Champaign. Because young people can do things as well.
Oh, yeah.
Even seeing somebody who maybe doesn't look like you, if they're in school, you need to realize none of us look like each other.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just look at this room, we've got, well, we sort of have two blondes, and then there's me.
You got that beautiful red hair.
Then there's me. But, I mean, there are so many little things.
And God is the designer of all things, the creative one behind the colors and the shapes.
Yes.
And to be prejudiced, I mean, I understand we have a fallen, sinful nature, and we like our own kind, if you will. But right. I've always delighted in the variety that God mm-hmm. has made.
He is a God like. Look at all the flowers. I mean, yeah. do we just want one exact kind of flower all the time? Yeah. No, we yeah. love the variety. Right. Let's just right. love right. variety.
The same with people.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Different characteristics, different traits. I just yeah. think it's wonderful. So, and to bring it all back and tie it into the Prime Life Times, Dr. William Bill Gingold.
I was thinking that
who
too,
was
Mark.
The founder of this Prime Life Times 27, 28, now it's maybe 29 years ago because we've had it about mm-hmm. almost 2.5 years now. Mm-hmm. But he was a Holocaust survivor. He yes. was a child in some of the camps.
He lost a lot of his family.
Lost
there.
A lot of the family members, mm-hmm. and we mm-hmm. appreciate Bill and Jason, his son,
yeah.
mm-hmm. serves with our staff as mm-hmm. a sales representative. Mm-hmm. But Bill always had a goal that this paper would be used to bring informative messages, keep people engaged, keep especially mm-hmm. the elderly active and involved. And
right.
we kind of carry on some of those traditions and have added some of our own mm-hmm. goals. But we appreciate Bill, who also had to live through that suffering and that tragedy.
Torturous
times. Right.
Yeah.
I know when Jason was at our home last year for a Christmas gathering, he was a little surprised that I also have a menorah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or the Hanukkah mm-hmm. menorah up, because it is so close to Hanukkah. And this year, leading up to Christmas, yeah. it was Hanukkah.
And that was our front page article in December.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Hanukkah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, and so. The Old Testament was written by Jewish people. Jesus was Jewish.
Hebrew scriptures. I think taking that word old out would help.
Yeah.
Well, so is, quote, Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Absolutely.
And in the scriptures, the Bible,
Peter.
That we love and revere. Yeah.
Luke would be the exception.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, Matthew, Mark, yeah. and John were. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'd say 80-90 yeah. plus percent
That's
were
right.
written by Jewish people.
Totally.
Used of
They're
God.
The Hebrew scriptures.
We appreciate that the Jewish people preserved the scriptures.
Absolutely.
And how God has used them, and how God desires us as believers to show them the love of God and the fragrance of Christ, and help mm-hmm. them understand our Messiah, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes, praise God.
So, great article. Thank you
for Kathleen.
Sharing that,
Kathleen. Oh, well, you're welcome. It was a difficult article to write
in many ways. I bet.
Sure.
What that girl went through.
It's all in this January edition of the Prime Life Times, available at over 300 area locations. Pick up your edition today or subscribe, and we can mail it right to your home. Call us at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. The Prime Life Times in Review. It's Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Bye-bye.